Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Thank you so much for tuning into another edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. I am your hashtag queen of soft style, the Twitterless heroine herself, Miranda Morales. And we are here at it once again this week. Now, you may have been a little confused as we started off the show with Summer Nights from Greece. There's a reason to this madness, as you know, if you've listened before. I am big into themes. I am big into having things tie in together, so I will get into that shortly. But before we do that, I want to remind you that the Hashtag Miranda Show is part of the ChairShot Radio Network. Don't forget to visit thechairshot.com for all of your latest news, analysis, and opinions on wrestling. I am joined by my co-host, Greg DeMarco. Greg, are you here? Greg, breaker, breaker.
I sure am here, and thankfully things seem to be working for once, which is exciting.
Yes, it's, you know, things, at least on my side. Greg had some, you know, challenges a little bit earlier today, but we don't care about that. So it's all good for me here. Greg, how are you doing? For now. I mean, that's also true. When his problems start to become my problems, then I start to worry. But usually it's the other way around. My problems start to become Greg's problems. So
yeah, well, that's just
– yeah.
But that's for more than just the show, so it's okay.
Yeah, that's just life in general. But yeah, it's the reason why we played Greece's Summer Lovin', which, to be honest, I was not expecting. But it sets up the theme of tonight's show. We're gonna talk about some summer wrestling lovin'. Technically, I know the calendar, you know, has a different date for the start of summer, but we just recently had Memorial Day, which in some parts of the country is the official start of summer. Apparently on the Jersey Shore, that's the thing. I'm not sure. I live in Tucson, Arizona, so nowhere near the Jersey Shore. But for a lot of people, Memorial Day is the start of summer. We've entered the month of June. So I figured that we could take, you know, most of today's show to talk about what's happening this summer in wrestling. And specifically, you know, some of the bigger promotions out there, the events happening, and the fact that this is a fairly busy summer. in the past, summer has been kind of a lull. It's kind of a downtime. We're just kind of going by until we hit SummerSlam. But with the addition of All Elite having some shows over the summer, of course, New Japan having some of their annual shows, things happening. I thought it would be fun to kind of explore what's happening this summer. Maybe most of these things you know about, but maybe you didn't. I learned a few things during my research. And now that we are in a time where there's so many options, you can't sit down and just say, oh, I'm bored. I don't know what to do. It's just like when your kids are home over the summer, you know, I'm bored. I don't know what to do. So I'll give you something to do. So some of this could even be considered your summer homework assignment. Maybe seeing a show you haven't before, or, you know, give a new promotion a try. Who knows what you may end up liking. That is something that, you know, I will do myself. Before we get started, Greg, is there anything in particular that you're doing exciting this summer?
I'm about to play this soundbite.
F-A-B-U-L-O-U-S.
Shut your dumb mouth.
Okay, I got a funny story. He forgot that he was supposed to be on your show today, and he's coming. He's on his way, but I'm doing this just because he's your best friend. So you can give him a hard time about it, and maybe he can have some Miranda rights he has to deal with. Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
But wow, it's funny cause, we're going to have a special guest appearance by Mr. Patrick O'Dowd on the Hashtag Miranda Show.
Yeah.
Man, summertime.
He forgot that he was invited by you, and then yeah, he's yelling at me because I'm like, well, start your computer back up. And he's like, hold the F on. But he left out the F on accident. So it's funny because sometimes, you know, these shows are designed to be a conversation, like just a literal conversation. That's what makes them fun. That's what makes them engaging. And when you're like, what are you doing? I want to be like, you know what I'm doing. I'm going to San Diego. And I realize, wait, they don't know that you know what I'm doing. And so, yeah, going to San Diego, you know, doing stuff with the family, of course. You know, I don't have the luxury that everyone else in my house does, being off over the summer, so I have to work. So, yeah, I'm sure there'll be some wrestling involved here and there, lots of wrestling to watch, which we'll be talking about. And, you know, every Tuesday I'll be doing this. So that's – or most Tuesdays. I'm sure there'll be Tuesdays that we don't because it's summertime. And I know you've got a thing or two planned as well. And so, yeah, we'll cross those bridges when we get to them, but
yes.
Summer's fun. Summer's exciting. In my household, it's also a challenge because suddenly everybody stays up later, but yet I still have things I have to do. So
life can be challenging. I'm already here sipping on my iced tea. I am ready. I mean, not ready for the triple digits that we are going to experience in Arizona. As I mentioned, I live in Tucson, Greg's in Phoenix. This place is about to be hot. This place will be like the surface of the sun. So things will
indeed
be melting. I will be cranky. I don't do that well under the heat. But you get used to it. It's a dry heat, as they say.
But you've lived in Albuquerque and Tucson. And I mean, these are not places that are cold by nature.
Albuquerque at least had seasons. Albuquerque is about 10 degrees cooler than Tucson. A little bit more in history, I grew up in a place called Yuma, Arizona, and Yuma is one of the hottest places in the entire country.
On Earth.
On Earth, on planet Earth, on God's green planet. So I grew up in the intensity heat. I moved there when I was young. The summer was like 123 or something ridiculous like that. So, it takes a minute, but I do get mm-hmm. used to it. So, it is what it is. But also this summer, I still have a packed schedule. You mentioned wrestling. I will continue to be ring announcing throughout the state of Arizona. On Friday, June 14th, I'm going to be announcing right here in Tucson for Cactus League Wrestling on that next day, the 15th. In Scottsdale, Arizona, I'll be announcing for Arizona Wrestling Federation. And again on June 29th in Tempe for Arizona Wrestling Federation. So it's a busy month, not only as a wrestling fan, but for you know, those of us who are out there and about. So I've got to keep this voice warm. I got to keep it fresh, or else I got no work. I can't do the podcast. I can't do announcing. I mean, definitely my life would be over. So
anything that I'm involved with, it would be, and that would be sad. So you mentioned some of the shows that you're booked for. Please tell me that they've booked you for the show in Tucson that the Arizona Wrestling Federation has. Like,
yes.
Tucson.
Yes, that is going to be in July, actually. Let me pull up that specific date. But, yeah, the Arizona Wrestling Federation will be July 19th, yes, their very first show in Tucson. I will be announcing at that, which I'm very excited for, to bring kind of a new promotion to the fans of Tucson. But again, there's lots of quality, amazing wrestling happening in your own backyard. So first challenge, before we get into some of the other bigger promotions, take a chance on your local wrestling promotion wherever you live. Most places have at least one, if not two, three, four, maybe even five promotions. And a lot of them are running over the summer because families are out and about, kids are out of school. So if you've never gone to a local wrestling show, do yourself a favor and go. They are a lot of fun. They're very interactive and engaging. And, you know, it's a way to kind of do something else, especially if you're tired of, you know, WWE, if you can't wait until AEW comes around, whatever it is, you don't get the channel that Impact's on, which is me. I don't even know what channel's on anymore. Not gonna lie, I haven't seen
it's on Twitch.
In Twitch, yeah. So if you don't have Twitch or whatever other platform, do yourself a favor, go online, check out what your local wrestling promotion is, go to one of their shows. Sometimes $10, $20. Sometimes for free, you can see, you know, sometimes they bring in stars from other states, really interesting stuff. So that's the challenge I have for all of you out there. If you haven't, go. If you have, keep on going. Whatever it is, support your local wrestling promotions.
It's funny that you talk about sometimes they're bringing stars from other states and whatever, because I wanted to plug the Cactus League wrestling show you were talking about, because it's always exciting to go to their shows and see who they've advertised that doesn't show up.
Y'all wouldn't know entertainment if it slapped you in the face.
I'm sorry, I had to do that.
Yeah, you put me in a hard spot there, Greg. Real
you
hard
didn't have to say anything.
Spot there.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Sound bites. You could just transition right out of it and not have to. To their credit, they have not advertised any big names for this upcoming show except one guy who's been at their other shows. So I don't think that's going to happen this time around. Yeah.
That is the voice of Greg DeMarco. That is not endorsed or condoned by myself, Miranda Morales, or those associated with the hashtag Miranda Show, including Greg DeMarco, which sounds then like they cancel each other out, but, you know, because you are also part of the hashtag Miranda Show. Yes, I'm trying so hard.
Let's bring it just so you know. For an NWA show at the Celebrity Theater, I did more than once, but the first one I ever did, they advertised El Hijo del Santo. I know I said it wrong, but I don't care. And he wasn't there. And they gave me specific instructions. Don't mention that he's not there. So we're at Celebrity Theater. The last match ends. It was a good show. Very entertaining show. And I'm like, all right, everybody, have a great night. Bye. And I couldn't get out of there fast enough because they started throwing stuff because they were all there for one guy. And he wasn't there. And they drew over 1,000 people for this show. And yeah, that was I got my $75 and quickly left the building for that one.
Yes, got the heck out of there.
I did, but at least I got paid. So yeah. Anyway, you know, we talked earlier about a little something and made fun of somebody and then played this.
FABULOUS.
Yeah, I might have autopiloted out of the show.
Yeah.
Like show's over, click, click, close, close.
And that was quick. Like, you legit, like, were just, like, bye. Because
we
were singing Alanis Morris, and then that was it. We got cut off, and I never heard from you ever again.
Well, you know, it happens. I'm so used to Greg just hanging up and never coming back. And, yeah, like, hung up and was like, I guess they're done with me. Guess he forgot. Truth be told, I forgot. And yeah, I autopiloted the crap out of here. Totally, like, heard the Block Talk lady and went right into, it's time to go to bed. Click, 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 click. I closed the laptop. I didn't just shut it down. I folded it closed.
I was
done.
Done for, yes. Well, Patrick, I am really happy that you made it back here. I'm really happy that you're joining us tonight. Thank you so much. For those of you who don't know, Patrick's all the way out on the East Coast. So he is a few hours ahead. So it is technically the next day over where he is. And I know it's tough. I'm already sleepy. And it's West Coast time. Yeah, I mean, as much as I'd like to say I woke up like this, like, it just takes some work, and I need enough rest. So, yes. So thank you so much for joining us this evening. You are going to have to make me repeat everything that I just said, which is going to add 30 minutes to the show. But you'll be fine, right? You know, like, this is okay.
I'm able to do this because I'm on vacation in it. Like, as of 5 o'clock Eastern time yesterday. I'm on vacation.
You are tied perfectly into this week's show. We're going to be talking about some summer wrestling lovin'. We're going to be talking about some of the wrestling events happening in June, July, and August. Really encouraging people to take your summer vacation breaks. Take your time. Learn about wrestling. Check out some new promotions. But before I do that, I do have to get you acquainted with the hashtag Miranda Rights. This is my show. Greg has given me autonomy with that, where I can do and say what I please, which I don't abuse ever. You know, I'm just
fair. Of course
not.
No.
Of course.
You never abuse.
I have the rights, so that you know what your rights are as you come and be a guest on the hashtag Miranda Show. So your Miranda rights for both Greg and Patrick. You do have the right to remain silent. Everything you say can and will be used against you during the show. Now, you have
the
right.
This is on the will, just so he knows.
Yeah, I mean the will. And, you know, sometimes I make people say silly things or do different things. Really, you know, it's fun. We're having a fun time today. So I'm not doing anything too stringent. But I, you know what, I would like you to argue kind of the point that I'm going to be producing to you right now. So you will have to argue for the person that I will kind of assign to you or ask you about. And you'll know a little bit more about this in a second. But I wanted to bring this up earlier. I don't want to, you know, cause any tension, or I don't want to, you know, stir the pot a bit. But I believe 2 weeks ago on SmackDown, we had a Carmella versus Mandy Rose match. That's correct, right? That's something that did happen.
Sure did. Last week.
Yeah, last week it happened. So the reason I bring that up is for the fans who don't know, we all three of us have kind of our favorite female wrestlers right now on the WWE product. Of course, mine is Bayley. I dedicated a whole show to her after her Money in the Bank win and SmackDown Women's Championship win. But for those, and of course, you know, Greg loves Mandy Rose. That's his, you know, bae number one. And by the theme song you heard earlier, you may know that Patrick is a big Carmella fan. So when this match happened, I was worried that this was really going to stir the pot, you know, really hurt the dynamic of the Greg DeMarco show in this trio, because we worked pretty hard to establish some good ground. But, you know, Mandy and Carmella, I mean, they had a pretty good match, but ultimately Mandy won. Greg and Patrick, this is where, you know, the Miranda rights come in. Justin Fair, Patrick, I'd really like for you to kind of make an argument as to why Mandy was the right person to win this match.
Because harlots who try to break up marriages are what the SmackDown booking team would like you to have as your representatives and winners. Ergo, Mandy Rose defeated my girl Carmella.
Jezebel.
From Dusty Rose.
A little bit of a Dusty Rose. I mean, is there a nice thing that you could say about Mandy Rose in general?
Yeah, follow the rules.
Style and grace.
Style and grace. That's a nice thing.
She enters the ring with style and grace.
Yeah. I'll take that. I'll allow it. Because I am judge, jury, and executioner. Not in the literal sense, because that's illegal. Greg, can you tell me about maybe why Carmella should have been the one to go over in this match?
But she didn't.
But I mean, again, you have to argue this point. It's my show.
You're right. I tell you why. Because the WWE SmackDown writing team feels as though people who break up marriages in real life should be put over in wrestling matches. And she should have been put over in that wrestling match with Corey Reigns on commentary.
Context out of that water.
Yes, order in the court. If I had a gavel, order in the court, gentlemen. Order in the court.
Here, I got one for you.
That's cold.
I got one for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I have some decorum, please?
We miss you, Stu.
Yeah.
We do.
So perfect.
Stu
so
Bennett
perfect.
Or Wade Barrett. No, sorry.
And he hasn't shown up in AEW either, which is.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Maybe okay, not yet. But, Greg, come on. Can you say one nice thing about Carmella? A real nice thing.
See, that's the problem. I've actually been a supporter of Carmella for a long time, and not to the level of Patrick O'Dowd, but I am a huge Carmella fan and was pushing for her to win the title when she did and love that she beat Asuka twice as champion and love her involvement now with R-Truth. So, you know, millions of YouTube viewers can't be wrong because those two are killing it. So, yeah, I got nothing but love in the real world sense, not the joking around sense.
Well, very nice. Now, gentlemen, we'll get on to the rest of the show. I may have you argue some point, counterpoint later on, but we actually have some real wrestling to talk about tonight. I want to get started by talking about some of the events happening in the month of June, specifically three events coming up. One is, and I'll kind of just jot them off and share some thoughts about, you know, which one captures your attention, any that you're excited about, whatever. Just very, very open in a conversation with these. We have June 9th. New Japan has their show Dominion that they'll be holding June 9th. June 23rd, WWE has the newly named Stomping Grounds, plural. Stomping Grounds pay-per-view, and then June 29th, AEW has their first kind of non-major big pay-per-view event with Fyter Fest. Now, for me, I'm particularly interested in how Fyter Fest goes because it's going to be the first non-big show. They've done All In and Double or Nothing, both pretty significant standalone shows. And I've talked about this before. I think it's going to be the little things that they do, kind of the day-to-day decisions that they make, and some of their non-kind of bigger shows that they do that will help really define them. And I think fans get a better insight as to what they may expect on a weekly episodic show or all the shows that they do in between the big ones. The lineup is starting to really come forward. Tickets go on sale shortly, and that's been another area of speculation, whether they're going to sell out fast or maybe they won't. who knows? But I'm pretty interested in seeing how Fyter Fest does as kind of, you know, kind of an off show, as something that isn't going to be built as big as All In or Double or Nothing. Any of these shows in particular are you intrigued about, don't care about, anything in between?
Great. Okay, I'll go first.
There's no rhyme and reason here.
I was waiting for the cue. I think for a lot of the same reasons that you laid out there, Miranda, Fyter Fest is the one that, like the interesting thing right now about AEW is the show after, is the next show. It's really right now, it's all about the next show until we get to October. And so seeing those steps along the way and where they go and where that takes the company by the time we get to October is going to be very intriguing and exciting for me. WWE's rebranded June pay-per-view, like, will be fine. But really, let's be honest, we're all just working our way towards SummerSlam. And we're not there yet. And I have to be honest, I haven't been up on New Japan as much as I have been basically since Omega left. So I can't really say too much about
that. I mean, I'll help you with the New Japan part, because you're one of your favorite wrestlers, Kazuchika Okada, is going one-on-one with young up-and-comer Chris Jericho.
I know, right?
So that's exciting, because Jericho, I hear good things about him. I hear he's going to be big. I think he's going to be interviewed
good
on
worker.
Somebody's podcast soon. Yeah, good worker. Yep. He's a good solid hand, as they like to say. Good hand, and I expect big things out of the guy. Young up-and-comer, Chris Jericho. Will be challenging Okada.
A champ, right? Like, champ of, like, how many years out of the last 5 years has Okada been champ?
Most of them. Yeah, he's right. Good for that, you know, amazing run that Kenny Omega had, which wasn't an amazing run at all, as IWGP Heavyweight Champion. Fyter Fest is interesting, and Myrna brought that up, because it's the second year that they've actually done this show. It wasn't called Fyter Fest last year, but it was still part of the same CEO gaming conference. It's the one that Kenny Omega run and used the guy who was a sex offender to help him run it, and everyone went nuts for a couple of days.
Yeah.
But the wrestling news cycle is what it is, and it's Kenny Omega, so we forgave him for that. If WWE did it, we'd still be talking about it today. But there's still plenty of seats available. Not plenty of seats, but there are still seats available for Fyter Fest. It's not a huge venue, but it is a big venue, and it's. I expect them to probably do this every year, just because the relationship is there with the conference. It kind of speaks to that side of what Kenny Omega brings to the table, and I think it's a smart move for them. Plus, it's in Florida, which is where they're headquartered. So I'm excited for that one too. Stomping Grounds will be interesting. It's just another name for a WWE pay-per-view. I don't know if it'll have any theme to it whatsoever. I don't really like theme pay-per-view, so I'm fine with it. It's lots of the wrestling during the month of June. Even here in a couple of hours, we're going to have the New Japan Best of the Super Juniors finals that will feature John Moxley versus Juice Robinson, which many people might remember. He is a champion in New Japan. He's the IWGP United States champion. Hasn't done anything with it in a while, but that's what he is. So it's there's lots to be excited about.
Yes, and to Patrick's point, I haven't been able to keep up with New Japan as much as I'd like to. I've primarily watched it on Access, and I know that's a little bit far behind. And even with that, I haven't been able to watch it as much. So I do want to try and utilize some time in the summer to try and get more updated on it. I think some fans may just automatically tune into it because John Moxley is going to be wrestling for New Japan, and that's already going to create some intrigue too, or just maybe some new eyes onto New Japan. So also interested to see if it does or does not happen, or maybe just gets a little bit more recognition. I know they tried that with Jericho, and it did, but I think with Moxley being such a newer name and face coming to New Japan, I think we may see more instantaneous kind of results of people getting more familiar with New Japan. So exciting stuff happening in the month of June.
And the rumor is that he is in the G1. So if he is, that's going to be really interesting. that speaks to what we talked about last week, where he wants to put himself in uncomfortable situations. He's very comfortable complaining about WWE, but uncomfortable in situations like working for New Japan. And I commend him for that part. I do. I know I joke and everything, but I do commend him for that one. So, I'm interested to see what happens.
That's actually a good segment into the month of July. The G1 tournament starts July 6th and runs through August for New Japan. July 7th, Impact Slammiversary, which I completely forgot about again. I don't have Twitch. Haven't been able to keep up on Impact. It's only on YouTube. On July 13th, AEW's second kind of non-major pay-per-view event happening, Fight for the Fallen in Jacksonville. July 14th, the very next night, WWE Extreme Rules. And then July 20th, now I believe this is more of a TV taping, but I did want to include it in here. Ring of Honor has Manhattan Mayhem. So if all of the bigger wrestling promotions have something going on in the month of July. Some of them in very close proximity with New Japan starting, the G1 Climax on the 6th, Impact Slammiversary on the 7th, and then, of course, let the rumors, the speculation, the news with the Z start to fly with AEW on Saturday and WWE on Sunday. I think this will be the first that we see of this as far as back-to-back, you know, pay-per-views for these two companies. So I do think that will be interesting to see. But, Greg, what's kind of your thoughts about this? I mean, you already talked about the G1, but even about Impact, something that we haven't really talked a whole lot about. This is their biggest show of the year, one of the biggest shows of the year. How do you think they've been setting up for this, or have they not been setting up for this? And it's really going to fly under the radar compared to some of the other shows happening.
It may fly under the radar only because it's Impact, but Impact, and Patrick actually has Pursuit Television, by the way. He's one of the few, one of the seven people in the country that have it.
Good for you, Patrick.
The company's doing a lot of good things, and it's actually some entertaining television in a lot of ways. Brian Cage versus Michael Elgin is the only match so far. As Elgin will come in, his first pay-per-view will challenge for the Impact World Championship, but that he left New Japan to work for Impact. So,
I mean, Greg, it's Impact Wrestling. We know this is what they do.
Yes.
New guy comes in, immediately challenges for world title.
That is
they'll
very
win,
true.
But they will immediately
And remember, according to the man himself, Kenny Omega got a really good offer from Impact Wrestling that he had to consider. So it's you know, they're trying, and I credit them. And remember, Greg has been given access to Impact Plus, and so I can watch this stuff. I haven't used it very much, but I have it and can utilize it and will. But
show.
I think it'll be good. I really do.
I mean, yeah, I was gonna say Slammiversary if you had not. I actually have. It's funny to watch the Impact season pass that I put on my DVR and just kind of follow from channel to channel. So I still record both hours of Impact every day, and every week. Sorry.
I was gonna say every day. Wow, that's commitment.
They suddenly became the AWA on ESPN.
Hell yeah, they were. I've been in Impact's corner and wanted it to do well for so long. Was a little sad today to see that Eli Drake's no longer in the company, but he's officially a free agent. Yep, I know. But I liked him in Impact. I loved his role and what he was doing in Impact. So I feel like that's a loss that's going to hurt. On some level, not going to kill the company or anything like that. But yeah, they've got a lot going on. They've got a lot of threads going on, a lot of stories running that can actually sustain it. I think that they've done way more with the repackaged LAX than I ever dreamed that they would do. And, you know, in terms of and tag team wrestling being something that is kind of worthwhile and followed there. About the only thing that I don't dig, and this is just me and my personal preference in terms of wrestlers is I'm not a big Taya Valkyrie fan and would be okay with her not being a champion.
Maybe it'll change at some point.
Maybe.
I mean, it's got to at some point. That's the way wrestling works. It's just, like, that's the only thing, like, I watch, I'm like, eh. Don't entirely get the whole Rosemary Sue Young thing, and I love them, but I'm like, that just doesn't do it for me in 2020 or 2019.
It won't do it for you in 2020 either, so that's okay.
No, probably. I mean, I applaud them for continuity in whatever the complex world that they've had, that, you know, some kind of actual storyline that's ran through a while. I think that feels a little bit rare.
Yeah, it's been very ambitious. It's an ambitious story.
Yeah.
I get what they're doing, but I'm like, meh. I don't know. I just watching somebody quote unquote die. It was the same thing that used to bother me with Lucha Underground.
It's the dramatics, Patrick. It's the dramatics.
No. Allie didn't need to die to be, like, off the show. Like, you didn't need to kill Allie. Like, it was like, whatever.
They know drama. They know drama.
They're trying to get on TV. Yeah, they're trying. I mean, who knows? Maybe AEW will fall through and Impact can slide right in.
That would be amazing if that happened. Like, that would just be the greatest thing ever if that happened. Could you? That would be better than them getting bought by WWE. It really would.
Right.
But you know, I do feel like they usually pull things together for Slammiversary, in one way or another. And maybe not necessarily the whole show, but there's definitely some great matches that happen during Slammiversary, and it almost always comes as a surprise. I feel like it's a very cyclical relationship where you see some good matches and you're like, oh, wow, I forgot about Impact. And then, you know, that was great. And then you kind of go on and forget about it again. And then something pops up like, oh, that was great. It's almost like the memory of a goldfish with Impact. And that's just me personally. And maybe also I have
the
attention span of a squirrel. Wow. But,
I was like, that's just you.
I was like, Greg and I have been to a Slammiversary.
We have.
No, and again, I think, you know, there will definitely be some good matches, but I just don't think that can hold through for a while. You know, that can only, it only holds, you know,
well,
relevant
no,
to the company.
There's no eyeballs on Impact. I mean, you opened this whole conversation. It really is about how damned hard it was to catch Impact for a long time.
Yeah.
And so when you slowly erode an audience the way that they did, and it really was death by paper cuts watching this, because there was a high watermark period. Like, there was a damned house show that I went. Like, I went to an Impact house show a few years back. And as they continue to just move from, like, lesser network to lesser network, it becomes easier to forget about that and to do what you said there, where it's like, oh, I heard about, you know, Impact having this show, and then it goes down, and then it goes down. And so now, like, sure, it's on Twitch, but you got to be willing to then now make the commitment to watch it on Twitch or to watch it on Pursuit when there are now viable options that people would prefer to watch.
Yeah, and I think it will be a challenge. I mean, the landscape of wrestling in general is now, it's a deeper pool now, and it is going to be, even though it looks like there's still, you know, plenty of opportunities for everyone, not only fans to have options, but wrestlers, it is going to be harder, I think, for Impact to swim in this pool. I think it's going to be more challenging for them to capture people's attention or just stay relevant when the news right now is always around, you know, WWE, AEW, even New Japan and ROH. You know, it's going to be harder for them to stay relevant. So having a really good show in Slammiversary can really help them get elevated again. But you're right, it's keeping that and maintaining that's going to be the challenge that they have for the rest of the year until they find more of a permanent television home. And that's a challenge that, you know, it's a whole other topic, but a challenge they've had now for years. That now with having another product on broadcast television can really, really, you know, hurt their viewership if now, you know, they truly become even below the number three company. You know, they could go down to, you know, God only knows how deep that pool is, you know. People get even local wrestling. I have seen local wrestling on TV more than I've seen Impact. So, who knows? Who knows what lies ahead? But I do also want to bring up Fight for the Fallen. This particular pay-per-view is being advertised as one with more of a kind of broader message, kind of a social message regarding gun violence. This only they said kind of briefly, and I haven't read or seen anything more detailed, so if you have, let me know, that this is meant to help victims of gun violence, which is kind of a platform AEW has said they want to be unique, is that they want to utilize their company in these shows to help bring to the forefront other types of social issues. I'm curious how they incorporate it, whether it's just proceeds or somehow the messaging in this event gets kind of geared towards that. But it is something that kind of piqued my interest, because that is something that can be a challenge for any company to have kind of a social issue or social stance on something while also producing a product. And then, of course, Extreme Rules. I mean, I don't even know what kind of rules they even put anymore. I mean, at this point, it definitely evolved so much from what it used to be with the ECW pay-per-view. And it almost relates to kind of TLC, where there's really only one or two TLC matches now. And even then, there's even, you know, maybe the chairs match or a tables match. But it's evolved more into a regular pay-per-view than sticking with the same pay-per-view. So I'm not expecting too much, other than probably some good matches. But I kind of agree with Greg. Eventually, you just need to keep the theme pay-per-views to some of the bigger pay-per-views and just keep things in names, and or even change the name of Extreme Rules. I don't think anyone's going to miss it if you rename Extreme Rules into something else, because at this point, there's really nothing extreme about it.
Well, yeah, last year, Patrick and I did our preview show for Extreme Rules, and it was me screaming singles match time after time after time, because there were like eight just generic singles matches on the Extreme Rules card. So
extreme,
it's extreme, yeah.
If you say it extremely, maybe it makes it extreme. Maybe that's Michael Cole's cue. That's literally
I think what it was that each wrestler got a bottle of that shitty Mountain Dew that they have to have on the table that none of them drinks.
Maybe. That's what's extreme about Extreme Rules. Yeah. Extreme Rules.
Extreme.
Is just,
well, that leads us into the month of August. And Patrick, you already alluded to this, where, I mean, a lot of this is leading to SummerSlam. But also, we have kind of, I'm calling it this wrestling purist holiday at the end of August, where three major events from three different companies are happening that I think is a, if you're really into wrestling, then you're going to love this. But
try carefully.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to pull a Brandi Rose apparently and offend all wrestling fans.
Oh, yes, please do.
Yes. I know, Greg gets excited at any moment that I could possibly offend someone. It's almost like he's trying to draw me to the side, you know. Gets born by someone drawing him in. But
I am an
asshole,
so, you know.
Yes. The beginning of August, we have three back-to-back events, all located in Toronto. On the 9th, we have Ring of Honor Summer Supercard. On the 10th, the next day, NXT TakeOver Toronto. And then on the 11th, WWE SummerSlam. Speaking of wrestling purists, I mean, Canada, Toronto is a pretty big wrestling community. It's a pretty big wrestling area. And so to have three, you know, fairly different products there, I'm going to be curious to see how they all turn out and the reception that they get. Do you think ROH is going to be fighting this uphill battle, especially having NXT happen the next night? NXT has been regarded by a lot of fans as the show to beat anytime that it is on. Do you think ROH is going to focus more on trying to be comparable or a better show than NXT in any form, Patrick?
I don't think they should try to be better than NXT. I think they should be. I hate that we keep going back and talking about this guy all the time, but I've grown to appreciate Eric Bischoff a lot more in the last couple of years, over the last year because of this 83-week show. And one of the things he talks about in terms of a product is not trying to one-up the show you're up against, but to be a legitimate alternative and do what you do best and make it something that fans want to see that's different from what they can see. So trying to out NXT isn't really the way to go and isn't what got ROH to the dance in the first place,
right,
necessarily. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of problems going on with ROH right now, in my opinion, in terms of what they're putting out. Like, it's just not an interesting product to me right now, because it feels like they've gone away from what made them special, and their booking feels stale. But yeah, I think if they want to do this right, you don't try to be like, hey, we're NXT only better. You've got to be like, we're ROH and this is what we're about. And if they do that, then they'll have a successful show.
Yeah.
Can I? Yeah. Okay. So I have a couple things. First of all, I didn't even know Summer Supercard was a thing until Miranda spoke those words. And I looked it up, and Summer Supercard, first of all, the logo for Summer Supercard looks like some really bad combination of ECW and WCW. Mm-hmm. And just the name Summer Supercard, like, this is the company with no identity. Like, that's a New Japan type name.
Yeah.
We all know how much Delirious loves it. But, like, and then here's the better part. Their little description, which is, I want to say the third paragraph, but it's also the third sentence because apparently every sentence has to be a paragraph. And I quote, Summer Card will feature the greatest wrestlers from the U.S., Japan, and Mexico competing for championships and in dream matches. They put the wrong name of the event in the description of the event. Like, they call it Summer Card. What that's like Jared Piven talking about Summerfest on Raw. Like, Summer Card?
That was such a great show.
It was so good.
But Summer Card? I mean, I get you.
Yeah, someone needs to, you know, spell check. Someone needs to grammar check.
Like, I should send this link to Joe Koff and be like, dude, Summer Card? But he still likes me. He hasn't blocked me yet on Twitter like Velvet Sky has. But, yeah, this is just – you're right, though. They can't out NXT. NXT because – NXT is basically Ring of Honor. Like, all the stuff
right.
that we've talked about, like, there. Unfortunately, NXT has out Ring of Honor to Ring of Honor. And, you know, with their talent or the talent they should have had. Like, Johnny Gargano should have been in Ring of Honor, but they never signed the guy, and he ended up going to Evolve instead. But it's just, yeah, they're just doing so many. So, and look, by then, Jeff Cobb's probably going to be the Ring of Honor world champion, and maybe they're turning things around and doing some things right. Who knows? But it's just tough for them to compete on that weekend against NXT. And, yeah, it's going to be really, really, really difficult for them. And it's sad because of what Ring of Honor always was and has been and could be. But that's why it just saddens me when it even comes up because of everything they're doing. And yeah, it is. We'll see how Summer Card turns out for them.
Yeah. Summer Card. I mean, I think the expectations, even though we don't have any matches set yet for Toronto or to NXT TakeOver Toronto, I mean, I'm sure the expectations are going to be high and overall going to be met. SummerSlam is interesting now because we still have months yet to go, but so much has changed in WWE on just a weekly basis. Over the past month. And so I think it makes it even more challenging now to kind of predict where, you know, they'll be at SummerSlam. But in some ways, it kind of adds intrigue because you can't predict it. Maybe over the past 2 years, you can kind of predict things out for a while. But now that there's so much shakeup, you know, no pun intended, that it is making it a little bit more challenging as a fan to really assess, you know, what is going to happen. I'm sure there's going to be some things that will be clear maybe after this week and for sure after some of the other pay-per-views, but I, for one, it's hard for me to see, and I'm not taking it as a bad thing. I'm not taking it as it's because it's, you know, the storylines are terrible on the booking. I mean, of course, there's some things that are just awful. But I think it's an added element of I do not know what to expect, and I'm taking that as a good thing right now because I like the element of surprise. I like how things have moved around, and you don't know who's going to be showing up on what. I ultimately think, as much as Greg has said, you know, they're going to keep the brand split. At this point, I don't even know what, you know, if it exists. But it is adding some interesting elements of people interacting that normally won't. And the fact that we've seen it on these larger pay-per-views, people from different brands coming together for matches. So all of this does ultimately make me pretty excited for SummerSlam. Greg, going against what you're saying with the shakeup and ultimately the brand split, but do you kind of have that same feeling? Am I alone? Is this a weird thing? Or is this element of surprise a good thing?
I mean, whenever I hear brand split and wild card rule, I, of course, only think of one thing.
Wild card, bitches! Yeah!
I just love that the Ghostbuster theme is playing in the background just now. Like,
right.
That's the best thing ever.
Yes.
I think the wild card rule is going to go away eventually because, and someone made a great point on Twitter the other day, when SmackDown moves to Friday, they're not going to cancel Friday night house shows like they've been canceling Monday night house shows. That's a very different economic situation at that point. Like, it's not going to. And I think – and I still don't buy the fact that this whole wild card rule was pushed by USA Network and Fox, and that Fox wants Brock to beat Kofi because – the networks don't book the TV shows. Like, the networks will complain to WWE and say fix, and then WWE has to fix it. Like, I don't believe that the 24/7 title was on a list of 7 or 8 ideas that were presented to WWE, and Vince had to pick one. Like, I just,
right.
You know, from USA Network, I just don't buy any of that. But I do think the wild card rule will die down eventually. Again, and Patrick has brought this up on a number of times. When did the wild card rule come out? It came out a few weeks before the 24/7 rule, right around the same time that Jinder Mahal wins a world championship, right around the same time that the WWE throws things against the wall to see if it sticks. And that's what I think they're doing this summer, just like they do most summers. That's when Alexa Bliss got her first push in WWE. That's when AJ Styles got to be world champion for the first time. This is when they test things out.
Yep.
And to see what works, and I think that's the same thing that we're seeing right now with the wild card rule. I don't expect it to be in effect come the time that Raw and SmackDown are on separate networks in October. But the wild card, that's all after SummerSlam. So SummerSlam could be very interesting. SummerSlam is kind of like a 75% WrestleMania. So I think we'll get some kind of major match at SummerSlam, whether it's an Undertaker or something like that. I expect to see something like that at a SummerSlam as well. Plus, it's in Toronto, which is a talk about a city that loves its wrestling and will be heavily involved in the show. I mean, and TakeOver in Toronto, the last Toronto TakeOver was insane. So that weekend, while it's not all one day like August 31st, that weekend is going to be very exciting. Even, you know, for as dumb as the name is, Summer Supercard, the show might be fantastic. So we might be in for three straight nights of amazing wrestling come the second weekend of August, just like we're going to be in for an amazing day the last day of August. So August is just, yeah, again, 2019. We're going to look on this year and for decades.
Huge.
It's a huge, huge year for wrestling. And in the month of August, alluding to what Greg was saying, August 31st, I think maybe declared a wrestling holiday. And I think wrestling purists, if you love wrestling, you know, not necessarily sports entertainment, though I'm sure it will be entertaining, but three, you know, wrestling events will be happening on that day. AEW will be doing All Out, which is kind of the anniversary of All In, which is the anniversary-ish. And then you have New Japan doing their Royal Quest to pay-per-view, and then NXT UK Cardiff will be happening as well. So if you love wrestling, this is going to be a happy day for you. Maybe people will be doing simulcasting in like a tablet, your phone, you know, TV. I don't know how you're going to be doing all this. You know, I don't know how this will all pan out, but I think it would be different if we had a specific WWE event other than TakeOver. But having these specific events happening on the same day, I think, is getting people excited, because some of the best wrestling all year will maybe happening on this day. And I think that's a rarity to be able to pinpoint, you know, actually, I think wrestling. Entertainment, when you look at the big events, you know, the SummerSlams, the WrestleManias, the Royal Rumbles, those are all entertaining events. But when you look at pure wrestling, all of these three companies have the potential to have the best matches in the world. And it could be really interesting to see kind of the reactions of different crowds in different points of time in different places in the world. But it's going to be a good day. It's going to be, I think, a really good day if you just love wrestling in general. But again, not here to do a Brandi Rhodes on anyone. Is there any way to be disappointed by this day? Is there anything that could happen that you say, man, this was terrible? Or is it just going to be hard not to just have a smile on your face?
Maybe. If something doesn't live up to the hype, I can see people being disappointed. Like if people have got it so hyped up in their minds as to what a show is going to be or what these shows are going to be, and they don't meet those expectations, the internet can be kind, it can also be brutal, and you know, we'll hear the displeasure of it. I don't think that's going to happen, personally, but there's always a chance that something could underdeliver.
Well, I could see matches under delivering, but all three of them, I mean, that's rarity. I'm sure there's going to be points within these shows that maybe feel underwhelming or don't deliver, but I think overall, you know, I kind of agree. I think all of these shows are going to produce some great matches and some great moments. But I also do think you're right, too. The expectations may be set so high that if it is an on-point phenomenal from start to finish, fans are going to feel disappointed. But then can you also then rely on, you know, kind of the balancing out of just all of these events together, or some points of one show being better than other, as an overall success for wrestling?
Here's the thing that strikes me about August 31st. And first of all, All Out's kind of funny because Cody Rhodes said, sees Double or Nothing and All Out being tentpole events. So they obviously don't even own the All In name. So that just makes me smile in so many ways, because that name was associated so closely with their brand.
Love it.
But the big thing about, I think that the whole August 31st deal, the one company who's going to be under the most pressure is actually All Elite Wrestling, because they're going last. And they're going to have the longest show out of everybody. And, you know, if WrestleMania fatigue, if people come out of August 31st loving wrestling, then they can never complain about WrestleMania and the length of the show again. Because you're basically going on August 31st from noon Eastern until probably midnight Eastern. You're talking about 12 hours of wrestling that you might have to sit through when this is all said and done. And if you love it, then you can't complain about WrestleMania being 7 hours long with the kickoff show, because that's still 5 hours less than what you're going to see on August 31st. But I do think that the element, that the potential for disappointment exists for All Elite Wrestling, because this is their pay-per-view closest to their TV debut. They did, you know, if you want to associate All In, they had a great show for All In. If you want, you know, obviously Double or Nothing had a great show. I think that Fyter Fest and Fight for the Fallen are shaking up to be very entertaining shows. Hopefully we get to see them, and that obviously hasn't been revealed just yet, but there's still plenty of time. But All Out, to me, is the highest risk, and I think there's the biggest level of disappointment, because sadly, they've painted themselves into a corner. If CM Punk doesn't show up at All Out, a lot of people are going to be really upset. They put the stars on the poster, and the stars are Chicago thing, not a CM Punk thing. But you know, wrestling fans, like, you've set yourself up for this.
And they were able to pull John Moxley in, which is, I think, hurts them whenever you have this kind of free agent or this person associated with wrestling that you haven't heard of before. I mentioned it before. I was a pessimist. I thought, no way is this going to happen. I related it so much to those CM Punk rumors, and they got him. And he's been active as far as saying, you know, how he was kind of convinced, or how he was, you know, really excited about this company, where if you can turn someone like John Moxley, who hated WWE, surely you can convince CM Punk to do it. And it will be almost a failure to AEW if they somehow don't convince CM Punk to be there.
Yeah.
And it's way beyond, you know, them. You cannot, especially after all he's been through legally too, you know, with just pro wrestling in general. You know, it's going to take a lot, but you make a good point. If CM Punk is not there, they're going to have to do something else very big that makes people forget about CM Punk. What that is, I have no idea.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know what they can do unless they try to save a Sasha Banks or something like that, if they can even get her. Depending on when her contract's up, there's rumors that her contract still has years on it. So who the heck knows? There's rumors she's coming back soon, and she was filming stuff for them already. So no one knows. The problem is, for that fan base, not for the three of us, but for that fan base, there's very few surprises you can bring out that would be better than CM Punk. And you don't deliver that. And look, outside of Tony Khan saying that he's had good conversation with CM Punk, and Cody Rhodes and Young Bucks saying they'd love to have him, they haven't really teased it, but the fans have teased themselves with it. Now, like I said, they put stars on the poster. That wasn't a smart move. If you're not going to deliver him, even though it's for Chicago, not for the guy, it doesn't matter. This is it's a do or die moment. Plus, it's their last event right now before they debut on television. So it could put them in a tough spot. Maybe they are going to deliver them. Who knows? But to me, the big idea there is that that has the most opportunity for disappointment is All Out.
Yeah. Patrick, what do you think as far as August 31st? What are you going to be glued to? All of it? None of it?
All of it, none of it. Wow, so much pressure. Honestly, that's the truth. Not because I don't have an interest in any of the shows. I probably, you know, for as much as I keep preaching caution when it comes to All Elite, like, I'm as interested as anybody in every one of the shows that these guys do. Because every show is another success and another step towards them being what they want it to be, and what I think wrestling fans want it to be. We're looking for a true alternative. So I think I'll be most attentive to the last show of the evening, and will voice my opinions on CM Punk should they actually get him to show up to the show.
Yes. Yeah.
Greg knows I have a lot of feelings about CM Punk.
About Phil.
We will cross that bridge.
I was being good, dude. I was being I was
you
crazy.
Were. You were. I
was
know.
Doing because you called me out on that crap.
Gentlemen, let's not, you know, fantasy book ourselves into a fussy here. You know, let's just see what happens and you know,
you're not gonna let us work ourselves into a shoot, brother.
Yes, work yourselves into a shoot. You know, that could have been a hashtag Miranda right for tonight, but that's just cruel. There's no need for that. There's already too many conspiracy theories out there that, you know, that do it to themselves. So it's overall a very exciting summer, and that's again something that I'm looking through this, and there's some that I did not mention. I definitely forgot to mention Ring of Honor's Best in the World. That's in June. I think June 23rd. That was one I forgot to mention. And of course, you know, there may be others from other somewhat medium sized, larger promotions out there, but still a very big summer. I think summer in the past has been noted as a kind of a downtime for wrestling. But now it seems to be picking up. And it really does seem to be leading into some of the excitement into the fall. And with August, with you have kind of two big, you know, big weekends or even, you know, points in the month of August with, you know, Toronto taking over that weekend of the 9th, 10th, and 11th, and then August 31st. So you can even frame some of the things happening over the summer to really help frame things that are happening in August, which is, you know, great to see. And it, again, keeps wrestling fans busy. We have till October until AEW makes their TV debut. We have October until SmackDown makes the change to Fox. So we still have, you know, waiting period for things that will ultimately change once we head into the fall, but also the ability to enjoy some great wrestling over the summer. And man, my iced tea is done, gentlemen. So unfortunately, that means it's the end of today's show.
I'm sad.
Yeah. Yeah, I also have no iced tea for either of you. So,
well, yeah,
maybe
we know.
Maybe next time.
Probably not.
But yeah, probably not. But I'd like to end, you know, all in good fun. I mentioned earlier as far as the hashtag Miranda's right, you know, trying to you know, air out some maybe of the tension between Greg and Patrick regarding Carmella and Mandy Rose, you know, had a match last week. Mandy was ultimately the winner, but, you know, Carmella put up a great fight. I just wanted to have, you know, one big group hug, of course, as the Bayley fan here. I got to do that. Greg, you know, one more very nice thing about Carmella that you'd like to leave the fans with.
She's a hell of a dancer. I think that we've all got to point out that she is a great dancer. And she's over. Like, you can't deny the fact that she's over.
I have no idea how to do that flossing thing. Not have no idea. She's really good at that. Makes it look real good, real fast, you know, real bubbly. Big fan of the flossing move. I should practice that over the summer. Maybe.
That's your summer, yeah. By August 31st.
That's my summer project. Yes, by August 31st, I have to perfect the floss. Patrick, can you leave us with one nice thing about Mandy Rose? Did is he there? Did he leave?
He's there. He might be muted, but he's there.
Oh. I mean, you have to, Patrick. It's part of the show. You have to do what I say. You have to say a nice thing about
someone.
He's
going to sit out right now. He fell asleep.
Well, you know, he is
here.
On
I'll help him. I'll help him out.
Yeah, please do.
Shut up!
He's busy counting his Twitter followers again.
Yeah.
He's never seen that many.
No, he's what, 430?
432.
Yes, it's a big deal for Patrick to get to this point in his Twitter followers. So if you're interested in following Patrick, you can follow him on Twitter at The Wrestling Realist. Don't ask me how to spell it because I don't know.
I can take care of that for you since we don't know where he is. It's WRESTLNG. REALIST. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in realist when it comes to his Twitter handle. And you can join 432 of your closest friends in following the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd. He can hear us, but we can't hear him. It's the curse of the Blog Talk Radio lady. So we'll just read on air anything that he says. That's what we'll do. So
yes. We'll be your proxy. I have the legal authorization. This is my show. And of course, you know, this is my court, so
indeed.
Yes, I can legally do that. You can follow the Chair Shot at thechairshot.com on Twitter, and you can also follow Greg at Chairshot Greg on Twitter. I am not on Twitter. You know, I mentioned earlier in the Greg DeMarco show, I am following AEW and WWE on LinkedIn. So, you know, I'm making money moves other ways. I'm taking
yes,
a
money,
whole new
money
new
moves.
Money moves, yes. That's from Cardi B. Do you know her? You know of her?
We're tight.
Yes. Okay. So, but I am not on Twitter. I am on Facebook, though, at Miranda Morales on Facebook. Please feel free to message me, to add me as a friend. I'm always taking suggestions for the hashtag Miranda Rice, so you can tweet at Greg, even at Patrick. You can make recommendations. Me and Patrick can get together, come up with some fun hashtag Miranda Rice for Greg. Who knows? They may be included in a future episode. So, and I would give you credit. So I'm not about, you know, stealing people's ideas. If you provide a recommendation for the hashtag Miranda Rice, you would be credited. So and acknowledged on a future episode. So do not forget that. Also, you can support thechairshot.com through Pro Wrestling Tees. You can go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and buy a plethora of shirts. With all fun designs, different sizes available, different styles available, hashtag soft style. Be comfortable over the summer. It's cotton. It breathes. You will thank me, especially if you live in Arizona. Cotton is your best friend. Mm-hmm. So,
a little hot,
you know,
a little toasty.
Update, it's a little hot, but it's a dry heat. It's a dry heat. So, don't, you know, spice up your summer wardrobe, buy a cheap t-shirt from the Chair Shot. Again, you will thank me later.
You will. I have, and I know they will. So, you know, it's funny that Patrick got here late and left early. Basically, like, he's still here, he can hear us, but let's just call it out. Like, I question his dedication.
I mean, yes. I mean, he, you know, sometimes likes to jump in into my show, cause a little chaos, you know, keep me on my toes, and then leave like the little scamp that he is, you know. Just like the little trickster. But, you know, I have great love and appreciation for Patrick O'Dowd. So he's always welcomed on the hashtag Miranda Show. he's definitely an honorary guest. Outside of you, Greg DeMarco, first repeat guest on the hashtag Miranda Show as well. So
I'm a co-host. Co-host.
Well, you are now the co-host, but you were the first repeat guest before
That's
you were
true.
Officially.
That's true.
So I'm just
was offered
being,
the co-hosting role.
Yeah, before you were offered the co-hosting position. So I
want
to thank
people might remember. I wasn't given an option. I was
no.
I
that's
take,
also true.
It was a Miranda right that I had
it
to
was,
be the co-host.
It was literally Miranda right. So
and here I am,
co-hosting, and here you are, all these weeks later.
Speaking of weeks, by the way, I just want to share for you as you prepare for next week. Next week is the historic 15th edition of the hashtag Miranda Show.
Oh, wow, man. First Takeover 25 and now Miranda 15.
Now, Miranda 15.
yeah, the hashtag Miranda 15. We're going to have a retrospective.
You got to use Roman numerals. When we do the next week's show and I title it, it's going to have Roman numerals in it.
That's okay. Roman numerals. I actually miss Roman numerals in WrestleMania titles. Okay. I am one of those. I am one of those people who are like, put the Roman numerals back in WrestleMania. I'm that person. You're welcome. But yes, hashtag Miranda 15 happening.
Yep.
Now Patrick has the Patrick 500. Now I have the Miranda 15. So I'm very excited to be on this.
Well, you're going
to
get the 15 before he gets the 500. So.
Yes, that's technically true, but you never know. Maybe Patrick gets a flurry of Twitter followers next
weekend. I mean,
weekend.
It's happened to me in the past few weeks. I've gained like 300. So, yeah, it's possible. It's very possible.
Yes, it's possible, but very, very excited about next week's show and also really appreciative of all of the listeners, whether you've been listening since the first one, which, God, I hope you haven't. They've improved. They've gotten better Or if you're brand new, thank you so much for listening to the Hashtag Miranda Show. It is always a pleasure and a joy to be speaking with fans, to be talking with people who love wrestling. It is the best part of my day, the best part of my week. So thank you so much for listening and being a part of this conversation. Greg, thank you so much for being such a lovely co-host. Patrick O'Dowd, thank you for being a two-time guest on the Hashtag Miranda Show. I hope
you're welcome.
I hope you are back again. And everyone, enjoy your summer. You've made it. We've made it to the summer. Get some iced tea, a lemonade, Arnold Palmer if you want to go crazy, and enjoy some wrestling.
All right, there we go. I got a special one to leave with. And yeah, here it is.
Well, this car is automatic. It's systematic. It's hydromatic. Why, it's greased lightning.
We'll get some overhead lifters and four-barrel quads, oh yeah.
We talking.
Fuel injection cut up in chrome-plated rods, oh yeah.
I'll get the money, I'll get the money.
With a four-speed on the floor, never waiting at the door. You know that ain't no shit, feel they get lightning.
Greased lightning.
Dashboard and do